Hey, this is Dan from the Linux Link Tech Show, and when I'm compiling my software, I like to listen to Infonomicon so I can get the news I didn't know I needed. Make sure you listen weekly.
You'll find our snack bar chock full of good things to eat and drink. Tasty, tempting hot dogs, thirst-quenching soft drinks, fresh, crunchy popcorn. You've plenty of time, so visit the snack bar now.
The apocalyptic vision of a criminally insane, charismatic cult leader.
Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. Who would not let... Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the cunts, the dogs, the filth, the shit. Here is someone who stood up.
All I know is this violates every canon of respectable broadcasting.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature! And you will atone!
We have to strike now, sir! Annihilate! Kill! Kill! Annihilate! Kill! Kill! Annihilate! Kill! Kill!
After very careful consideration, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your new defense system sucks.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Well, this is Droops, and this is Infonomicon Radio, episode 32. And today, before you turn it off and find something better to listen to, we have some awesome content because we have a special guest host from IronGeek.com. And Mr. Iron Geek, why don't you say hi to everybody?
Hello, everybody out there in Infonomicon listening land.
And today, we're going to be talking about a variety of stuff. This guy has made some show notes that are awesome, and I'm just going to let him take it away.
Thank you much. Now, the first topic I thought maybe we'd discuss is different computer security and hacking forums that are out there online right now. There's about six or seven that are actually going to be real regular. How about you, Drew?
Two or three. But you're missing one of the ones that I go to.
Which one do you go to that I don't have listed?
LinuxQuestions.org.
Oh! Yeah, I didn't think that that was specifically computer security related, but if you want to know anything about Linux, I'd have to imagine it'd be the best site. That's like, I didn't think about really specific sites. For instance, there's like 911, actually I need to look up the URL real quick. 911cd.net, the forum's there. Mm-hmm. If you want to look up anything on like different types of Windows boot CDs, it's an awesome place. There's no better resource than that.
What was that one more time? I'm going to write it down.
Oh, www.911cd.net/forums.
All right.
And that's where all the people who want to use VaultPE Builder to make a little boot CD,
mm-hmm.
where they get on and they post the different plugins and how to fix various problems. I mean, it's the number one best resource for information other than maybe asking Bart himself.
Excellent.
General online security forums. A lot of them have issues. I think the best first security forum I ever really played with much way back in the day was Hack in the Box. And there was a lot of people who were Hack in the Box who were incredibly knowledgeable, great guys, know what they're doing. But for some reason, their boards have been seriously inundated with, I hate to use the term noobs, because noobs to me almost sounds too much like dude speak. But a lot of people who ask questions like, teach me how to hack, or how do I hack my girlfriend's computer, or how do I break into schools' computers, over and over again. I hate the how you can kind of hack post. To give an example of the kind of mentality I'm talking about, someone emailed me today, and I'll skip saying his email address, but here's all the contents of his message to me. Could you, letter U, send me a video tutorial about how to hack into other computer? ? Please, if you don't want to send a tutorial, you can write with which programs I can do it. Please. First of all, people asking how I do something that is probably what they want to do is going to be illegal regardless. Then two, not being specific on what they want to do. It's asking how do you hack is kind of like asking how do you move from one place to another. There's so many different ways and so many different things that depend on your circumstances. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand. Did this guy send it to your website email address or some email address you had posted on a forum?
Oh, my website email address.
Did he not look at your website?
I don't know. I figured maybe, actually, it's possible he might have emailed me through one of the many forums features. Yeah, you know, most forums have it emailed this particular member. Mm-hmm. It's possible he emailed me through that. And he never saw my site. Although usually every place I post, my site's listed right there. But those are one type of problems. I have a lot of forums. And the other type of problem I have sometimes are people who, when you do ask a question, no one ever has the ability to answer it or even point you in the right general direction. One of the problems I had on, like, for instance, Hack in a Box was if you had a lot of people posting how do I hack questions, or someone would post an intelligent question, maybe something like, well, like Mark asked me a while back, how do you find stored hashes of cache credentials on Windows? Something like that. If you ask that kind of question, silence for a long period of time. But a few forums out there that I do like to frequent, I think my number one favorite forum right now is antionline.com. They have this anti-point system where they basically reward good posts and penalize bad posts and posters. And so the people that post how do I hack questions usually get kicked off so fast and posts locked that you never get a chance to see them. And there's actually a lot of knowledgeable people out there on anti-online. Folks like Negative and Tiger Shark and so forth, and Fisher Freak that point me towards things I've never heard before and give me new things to research, which I love. A lot of people on that particular site, though, are very much geared towards professional pen testers and security folks who work in IT. Another webpage with similar content is securityforums.com. But it doesn't seem to have the family atmosphere that anti-online does. But securityforums.com also looks like an excellent place if you want to go to find information from people who have been working in the industry for a while, securing computers, configuring firewalls, doing pen testing. Next on my list is Ben Webb. I like Ben Webb quite a bit. There's a few of the newbie how do I hack posts, but generally speaking, a lot of very knowledgeable people, and a lot of people from the hacker media community can be using that board. Mm-hmm. Also, that board is the one I've been to. I know Nick from Root Secure is on it, and are you on that one, Droops?
I am. I'm a moderator there.
Ah. And of course, the guys that make the Ben Rev radio show are all on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been reading through it, and it looks pretty good. Probably the worst one I've been to in a while is that. One of the buddies just said one of the worst forums I've been to in a while is Iron Geek forum. He's pretty much right. I have very few. And I want to kind of keep it that way because I don't have enough time to actually look at it and moderate it. I will admit that.
There's a lot of people that will just start a forum, and it's hard to get people to go to your forum. So it seems that the ones that are really good just keep getting bigger and bigger and better, and it's hard to have a little startup forum.
Yeah, well, you know, no one wants to post, like, well, maybe some people do, to 2 billion different forums. Like, I just listed, I have, like, 7 different forums I can go to regularly, and it's a pain to check them all and remember when you check them all, and I find myself having to go track this thread a whole lot. Otherwise, people are asking questions in a thread, and I'll never get back to them.
Mm-hmm.
But Jinx Hackware is jinx.com/forum. Some good people on that as well. But for some reason, they are probably the worst as far as being inundated with the whole how do I hack threads and how do I hack school computer threads. That was the forum I was on for a while just before I found any online, and since I found any online, I've been sticking mostly to it. Then there's also the forums at forums.hackthissite.org. Now, hackthissite.org is an interesting little site. Have you been there before?
I have.
They have all these little challenges you go through, and you basically do simulated hacks. The only ones I've really looked at much so far have been the basic web security hacks.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them actually taught me some things about JavaScript injection that I just didn't know you could do. But the site itself is awesome. Some of the people asking questions on the forums, though, is once again the whole question of how do I hack, or people would give information that's kind of spurious at best, but they'll say, well, why do you need to crack Windows passwords for using a boot disk? You can start up in safe mode by hitting F8 and then choose with network support, and it just lets you in. I haven't really seen that. There might be a way of configuring it to do that, but I've never seen Windows XP act that way. Or they'll give information on, like, using null sessions and the net command to connect to a machine and hack it, but they never put forth the assumptions that they've given permissions to boot everyone, and that the people aren't either, one, filtering those ports via firewall, or two, have actually secured the shares in such a way that the group everyone's not going to be able to get into them.
Well, when I first started out with Linux, I didn't have an internet connection, and I found it really hard to get Linux information. And as soon as I could get an internet connection, I did a lot better, but I found that there were a lot of people, you know, yelling at me for being a noob or this, that, and the other. They're like, go read the fucking manual. I didn't know how to find the manual. I didn't have a Linux book. I had a disk, and it was just me and my buddy playing around with it. And I really got a bad taste for forums, and there was a lot of IRC back then, asking these people, and they were just rude for no apparent reason. And some of the forums that I go to, especially the BenRev forum at benrev.com/forums, they're very forgiving. They have a whole section just for newbies to ask dumb questions, like, how do I find the manual for this? It's, you type man and then the command. Or type the question and dash dash question mark. And they'll help out. Now, of course, there's going to be the how do I hack posts. And they're actually usually answered pretty nice. Like, find something you like and just read all you can about it and learn all you can about it. And then you'll be knowledgeable in something, find something else. And try to think like a hacker, not just because you know how to type some stuff in your keyboard doesn't make you cool. Or you know how to run somebody else's script doesn't make you good at computers. And I really enjoy that, just the being nice to the people that don't know. Because everybody is a noob at something. And, like, Linus Torvalds is probably a noob at something I don't know off the top of my head. And there's no reason to be mad at people for that.
I understand that point, and I completely agree.
But there's also a place for people that know what they're talking about to be, and...
I'm not getting on people who don't necessarily have knowledge on certain subjects. There's tons of things I don't know crap about, and I have to constantly ask people questions. But
The
people ask questions, but they don't look that they've done any research into it whatsoever.
Yeah.
Oh, it's something that's incredibly simple that a quick Google search could have gotten. I mean, there's people on some forums that no matter what crap question you ask, even if it's a really complicated question, it's hard to come up with Google search strings for.
Yeah.
Just like Google. And I hate those people, but... But a certain amount of research, like when you were doing your first amount of Linux, did you ask general questions like, how do I install Linux? Or did you ask, how do I install Linux on this particular x86 processor with this particular video? Because it keeps crashing at this particular point.
Well, I was installing a really old version of Slackware, and I could never figure out how to get X running. And someone had told me, and I kind of remembered something about you had to change this configuration file, and I didn't really know. And I didn't realize it was a refresh rate and a horizontal and vertical sync on a monitor. And back then, you had to actually know that stuff to install Linux. And I just had the damnedest trouble figuring that out.
Yeah, I haven't ever met the Slackware. Pretty much went from Red Hat to Debian with little forays into stuff like, the name of the company is escaping my mind right now. Novell bought them.
SUSE.
SUSE, yeah, messed out their distribution some, which I thought was awfully good. But mostly I'm a Debian boy because of apt-get.
Yeah. I'm a Debian guy myself. I had a Slack box a few weeks ago, but now it's an Asterisk box. He also had some books that he wanted to talk about, so why don't you tell us about some books you've been reading?
Some books I've been reading? All right. people get on me because I'm not an incredibly private person. I know Tiger Shark on any online has gotten on me about it. He's probably correct. I might be regret how open I am later on. But I'll tell you this much about me. I work for a university library, which means I don't usually have to buy books with my own money. I get them to buy books.
You bastard.
And all the top time majors at the university can use them as well. So I often have them order me computer security books to read. This particular one was ordered by one of our faculty members. I didn't even know about it until it got here, but it's called Open Source Security Tools. It's by a guy named Tony Howlett. It's part of the Bruce Perrin Open Source Series. And I gotta admit, I really do like this book. There's a few things, a few open source security tools it skips out on, like Etercap, and let's say, I believe it skips out on vSniff, and a few of the really prominent ones I really wish it had covered. But, I mean, as far as from the securing side of things, it's an awesome, awesome book. Because it covers IP tables, Nmap, Etherreal, Snort, Kismet, a couple other war driving tools. Once I found Kismet, I didn't have much use for the other ones. So I kind of glossed over that particular section. Check Rootkit. There's a ton of useful tools. And I highly recommend anybody who wants it, go out and pick it up. One of the things I like about this book over a lot of the security books I read is that it's all free tools. I don't have a budget. I can't go out and buy a $50 to $1,000 tool to do a job. I got to find something that can do it cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And folks recommend saying, go out and buy this particular, the full version of LandGuard or whatever. Or go out and buy Air Magnet. I don't have the money to do that. So a book that tells you that is kind of useless because I'm never going to get a chance to use the product.
Mm-hmm.
A book like this Open Source Security Tools book that Tony Howlett came up with was also useless for me. It pointed me towards tools I actually have the budget for. And the only thing limiting to me is just the time to go out there and download them and install them and use them. And with Debian, that's as easy as an app gets. Or hell, for that matter, if I'm using someone's audited boot CD, most of those tools are already on there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, two of the books that I don't have yet that I'm looking forward to coming out. And I know there's a lot of mixed opinions on the Hacking Exposed series. I know the fifth edition of the core book is coming out either April or May. Depending on which book site I go to, I get two different answers. Most of them say May, though. I think the publisher's website told me April. I'm sort of looking forward to that book because I've actually enjoyed the previous ones in the series. There's a lot of stuff that is rudimentary, it's covered over and over again, but I like the format and how they put the information in and the step-by-step instructions and so forth. I've read many books that cover security from the standpoint of this is what a port scanner is. This is what something is. Hacking Exposed series at least covers, alright, here's how you use Nmap with these particular flags to accomplish this particular task. Here's how you use Etherreal, and here's how you set the filter to grab just the information you want. I like that level of detail and actual hands-on. I have the same problem with a lot of security conferences I go to. They're geared more towards management than the gearhead.
Mm-hmm.
So I've actually kind of liked the Hacking Exposed series from that standpoint, but then again, I've only usually read the core book, which I think is like Hacking Exposed, Network Security, and the Windows 2000 book and the Linux Exposed book. The computer forensics book was okay, but it got seriously enough bogged down in the legal standpoint that I don't think I'd ever want to professionally do a computer forensics career. Not to mention, it kept recommending so many tools that cost money. Unless you work for a company that can buy them or an agency that can buy them, I'm not gonna get much hands-on experience with most of the tools that were shown in that book. Another book that's coming out, and I have no idea when. If another Fedora finishes it, you're familiar with Nmap, right?
I am.
Well, did you know Fedora is writing a book for O'Reilly?
Who is?
Fedora. Fedora. The guy who writes Nmap. Or the core developer on Nmap.
Okay, I'm sorry. I totally didn't understand. I thought you said Fedora. Like the Red Hat?
No.
My bad. Go ahead.
Fedora, the guy who writes Nmap, he's actually developing a book for O'Reilly called Nmap Security Scanner, The Definitive Guide. And it's looking like it's going to be awesome as far as covering nitty-gritty of what you can do with Nmap. And in my mind, Hope you might disagree with me, but NMAP is probably the number one most used pen testing tool out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of excited to see him actually get a chance to develop a book for O'Reilly and publish it. So when that comes out, I'll make sure I get a couple copies of it. One for the library, probably one for personal use.
I'm actually watching him on his webcam, and he's sitting in his office, and there's some people handing him an energy drink.
I got these little cheap or Big Lots. I'm a cheap, cheap bastard. Most of my stuff I have, I even read software, other people give me, hardware that folks throw away. People occasionally ask me for advice on what's a good video card to get, or what processor right now benchmarks the best of bigger price range. I don't know.
I have no idea.
I'm a garbage picker extraordinaire.
Yeah, most of the work I do is not on brand new computers. I'm looking into getting a new computer, and I have not the foggiest idea what I need to get. But if I found a really old computer, I'd know exactly what I could do with it.
Mm-hmm. Two best sites, whenever I want to buy a new computer, the places I check out are like SharkyExtreme.com and Tom's Hardware.
Mm-hmm.
They usually have really good in-depth reviews of everything. And right now I'm looking for a laptop. So I'm looking at, like, notebookreviews.com. But the place I work for has kind of these licensing agreements with Dell. So it's probably going to be a Dell regardless. Dell, that's probably a Dell regardless.
I've got a Dell I'm fixing right here. It's a relatively new one. It's got a nice wide screen. And every time you press a key on the keyboard, the whole keyboard sinks into the laptop.
Ooh.
It's god-awful annoying.
What series is it?
Let me flip it over here.
I'm looking at the 700M right now, basically for portability and different my price range. It's crap for 3D performance, but I want to do it mostly for pen testing, carrying around, taking notes, writing the articles and crap like that, so for that.
It's not my laptop I'm looking on it. I got the model number, but I don't see the series. Inspiron 8500.
8500, yeah, that's the one older. The one right after this, the 8600, was pretty well reviewed. And I got a couple of buddies who, one of them has a 9200. He seems to like it. I think it's largely very hit or miss with Dell. Because correct me if I'm wrong, but most all of Dell's stuff's all manufactured over in China by
different people.
And packaged and, you know, labeled. But there's always going to say, maybe to say people in China over and over again, do they?
Uh-uh, they don't. And they're really bad about, like, they had a, I forget the line of it, that has the overheating problem. And my wife's brother has one that we picked out. We didn't realize it was so bad. And it just overheats. And this kid still has his original Nintendo. So it's not that he's not taking care of this laptop. It's just a piece of shit. And Dell won't do anything about it.
There's something about better luck with him than others.
Don't get Toshiba.
One of my buddies just said, don't get Toshiba. He's apparently had some issues with his Toshiba. He's playing it in the background right now.
I've had overheating problems with
He's had massive overheating problems with Toshiba, apparently. Then again, I imagine that also depends on which Toshiba you buy.
See, I have a ThinkPad, and I just love my damn ThinkPad.
Everybody loves... Oh, the ThinkPads are fucking... They didn't struggle from way back when. I have a 46, 25, or 33 sitting in my other... storage area. I don't know if I can do it because it only has 4 megs of memory. I have running FreeDOS right now and constantly running Pac-Man as a screensaver. It's years, years, years old. It's probably been beat through hell and it still functions. IBM, I don't know what they're doing right now, but they used to make awesome equipment.
Well, my ThinkPad's about a year old and it's really good. I'm anxious to see what they do with Lenovo buying them.
Oh, yeah, I heard something about that. It has, they're already manufactured over there, though, correct?
That's correct.
So basically someone bought the facility and is now handling the rest of the production as well.
I don't know if they didn't own the facility in the first place, but now they bought the rights to the name.
Yeah, everybody tells me they love the ThinkPads. The only thing is there's an extra premium cost on them, so I'm probably not going to be able to afford one of those.
But yeah.
Send me one for free. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's, what's your email address? Irongeek@irongeek.com.
Email me, I can give you my address, you can mail it to me. Appreciate it.
All right, moving on. What else have you got to talk about?
Oh, but upcoming cons. I have yet to been to a computer security / hacking convention. I've been to these little rinky-dink things in the area. I know, I'm trying to think of the name of the particular organization that has it. There's a organization here in Indiana called Indiana University Center for Applied Security Research. They have this summit once per year. It's called Indiana Higher Education Cybersecurity Summit. I went to one last year. There was a few people who spoke great and eloquently about what they were doing and how they were handling various problems. I believe Mark Broom was one of the men who was speaking. He was talking about how to detect hacker activity on the IU network, which I thought his presentation was awesome. But most of them were very much geared towards the management types and not the gearhead.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully this particular year it's going to be better than last, because they have another section that they get to announce what they're going to speak about, but something called practitioner short slots. Well, I'm hoping they will have more hands-on demonstrations of how to solve various problems. But the bigger conventions, I've never got a chance to go to. I know the ShmooCon happened not long ago.
Yeah, I went to that.
How was that? I'm upset I missed it, because I saw the itinerary, and it looked awesome.
The Shmoo group did a freaking awesome job. They had it set into three different tracks, where they had different topics going on. It was very, very informative. The speakers did a really good job, and actually they paid the speakers $100 to speak. Lucky was excited to help pay for the room. They did a really good job. I'm definitely going to try to go back to ShmooCon again. I'm going to Nauticon, which is up in Cleveland, next month, and that's a lot closer to you than it is to me. You should try to make it to that one.
One of the guys from Packet Sniffers, Darkman, is asking me if I was heading up there, and I looked at the itinerary, and I don't know if I'll be able to make it, because I can only afford, like, maybe one or two conferences a year, and I'm not sure if I'll go up to that particular one. Not to mention, it's relatively short notice for me to put everything in through work and get the time off and so forth. Have you been to that one before?
I have not, but I'm wanting to meet a few people that are going to it.
I want to meet a lot of people who I've met online in real life.
Yeah.
I know the Packet Sniffer guys, they're running some kind of TV show up there at Nauticon this year, aren't they?
They are. I'm working, hopefully this weekend I can do a little filming, and we've got a very humorous show that's going to be airing on their little TV broadcast.
Now, I'm going to be able to pick that up on an internet feed, correct?
That's true. And then they're going to, you know, torrent it up so people can download it.
Because I definitely want to see it, because I really do like the Packet Sniffers.
Yeah, they have a really good show. And what's interesting, they gear that more toward public access for people to, you know, play it, than it is for the internet.
Yeah, of all people out there, they seem to be about the most professional. The only people out there that seem to you know, have more polish on them is the broken folks. And what do you expect from a bunch of guys who do TV for a living?
Yeah. Well, I'm learning about mine, Infonomicon TV. The first two were pretty poor, but I'm learning a lot about video editing. That's what's taking me so long right now. But the next one should be a lot better.
What software are you using?
I'm trying to learn how to use Premiere.
I believe that Adobe Premiere?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually they boxed that for me here at work, and I've yet to mess with it, because most of the videos I want to do are so small, and I want to do them quick. I use it using something called Virtual Dub, because it's free, open source. I can slice and dice the video. I can't do anything incredibly fancy with it, but it's enough for what I want, and it's simple.
I've played around with some simple ones, but I wanted something I can put on my resume, and at least this way I can say I use Adobe Premiere. I'm a resume filler, I guess.
Well, I'm sorry to cut it short, everybody, but one of the disadvantages of having the new 30-minute format is that the show's only 30 minutes now. But at least one gets out every week, and that's kind of important. So next week, we're going to be rejoining the conversation with the Iron Geek, and we're going to find out some more stuff, including how to find other computer people in rural areas. And this is Droops. I'm Mickey Finn.